ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 10 टेक्स्ट नंबर 18 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड डिलीवरेंस ऑफ द यमल अर्जुना ट्रीज। साधुनां समचित्तानां मुकुन्द चरणैषिणां उपेक्षय किं धनस्तम्भे असद्भिर् असदाश्रये।
Slishan and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: saintly persons, sadhus, think of Krishna 24 hours a day. They have no other interest. Why should people neglect the association of such exalted spiritual personalities and try to associate with materialists, taking shelter of non-devotees, most of whom are proud and rich? Purport: a sadhu is one who is engaged in devotional service to the Lord without deviation. Bhajate mam ananya bhak. Titikshvah karunika suryada sarvadehina ajata shatrava shanta sadhava sadhu bhushanha. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures. And all his characteristics are sublime. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text Number 21. A sadhu is Surida Sarvadeinam, the friend of everyone. Why then should a rich, instead of associating with the sadhus, waste their valuable time in associating with other rich men who are averse to spiritual life? Both the poor man and the rich man can take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement, and here it is advised that everyone do so. There is no profit in avoiding the association of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. Narottam Das Thakur has said, satsanga chadi kainu asate vilas te karani lagila ye karma bandha fas. If we give up the association of sadhus, saintly persons engaged in Krishna consciousness, and associate with persons seeking sense gratification and accumulating wealth for this purpose, our life is spoiled. The word asat refers to an avaishnav, or one who is not a devotee of Krishna. And sat refers to a vaishnav, Krishna's devotee. One should always seek the association of vaishnavas and not spoil one's life by mixing with avaishnavas. In Bhagavad Gita 7.15, the distinction between Vaishnava and Avaishnava is enunciated. Namam duskritano moodha prapadyante naradamaha maya aparitha jnana asuram bhavam ashrita. Anyone who is not surrendered to Krishna is the most sinful person, duskriti, a rascal, moodha, and the lowest of man, naradama. Therefore, one should not avoid the association of Vaishnavas, which is now available all over the world in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. Samachittana mukunda charanaishinam upekshakim dhana stambhari asat pirasat ashraya. Saintly persons, sadhus, think of Krishna 24 hours a day. They have no other interest. Why should people neglect the association of such exalted spiritual personalities and try to associate with materialists, taking shelter of non-devotees, most of whom are proud and rich? Hare Krishna. So here we are continuing with Narad Muni's thought, who is now about to curse Nalakuber and Manigriv. While going through this shlokas and translation, I was just trying to understand that what is the compassionate nature of Shri Narad Muni. You know, it's not that Narad Muni on an impulsive way, he just cursed Nala Kuber and Manikriv. Any conditioned soul would do that. And one may be a hypocrite also. You know, sometimes we may also make statements like that. But then, you know, but that's without any qualities of compassion or trying to help someone. But here you find how Narad Muni, you know, verse by verse, he just, you know, if you read those verses, all these verses, previous ones and the subsequent ones, you know, he is systematically, you know, trying to analyze the nature of such people, how the people who are wealthy, how they are proud, and how if they are uneducated, they become much prouder, how you wish that they would be poverty-stricken so that they can take shelter. And then here, like, you know, it appears that Narad Muni is in a very, emergency move situation. He is just trying to, you know, think that why are the rich people associating with the other materialists? Why don't they associate with the sadhus? It appears, you know, like the Narad Muni is trying to be very, very, you know, anxious and trying to understand that why these people are not doing like that. And similarly in the purport, you find that Srila Prabhupada also, if you understand now, Srila Prabhupada is on the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's almost a 10th chapter. Srila Prabhupada just completed only the 14 chapters of this particular canto. So almost the International Society of Krishna Consciousness is already set, already is established all over the world. And Srila Prabhupada is also in the same mood of emergency, just, you know, expressing himself out through his purports. And he's saying very, very important points here in this purport. One is that, you know, there is no profit in avoiding the association of the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. Means Srila Prabhupada is trying to tell all of us that if you are trying to avoid the association of Krishna conscious devotees, there is no profit. In other words, he is trying to say there is a waste of time. He tells in the subsequent purport that if one gives up association of sadhus and associates with a person seeking sense gratification, life is spoiled. And then he concludes, therefore one should not avoid the association of Vaishnavas, which is now available all over the world in the form of Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada actually is trying to plead each and every one of us to take shelter of the Krishna consciousness movement. And that's that gift that Srila Prabhupada has given it to us. Srila Prabhupada is also mentioning that why the rich, instead of associating sadhus, waste their valuable time in associating with other rich men who are averse to spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada in many places, he mentions that, you know, how associating with materialistic people is absolutely not at all required. In many, many places where he would converse with his devotees, he would just mention that, you know, whenever a materialist associates other materialist, it's just for some selfish interest. You know, materialistic people are envious of each other. He gives an example of a snake who has a jewel on his head. The snake naturally is envious. He will bite anyone without any reason. But then when he has a jewel, then he becomes more envious. So similarly, when someone who has all these opulences, especially wealth, then what happens? He becomes envious of others. In this world, everyone wants to associate with successful people. They want to associate with successful people. Like, we were just on a place and we were with Krishna Chandra Prabhu. And then one of our devotees asked him, he said, you know, why there are so many personalities, top people here at this place? He said, because that person is successful and everyone wants to associate with successful persons. But what is the reason for associating with them? So that, you know, they can also become like that. Or they can also become like them. The nature is not because I want to be because they are so rich and let me just take their association. No. Let me see how they have done it and probably I would also like to do it. Or probably in some way or other I will try to see that that person is brought down. That is the only nature. That is the only reason why people are associating with this materialistic people. That's all. Nothing else. You know, there is no other reason why they associate. Prabhupada gives a very nice analogy. He said that how he speaks from the Aesop's fable, where a dog, he has already got a bone in his mouth. So he should be satisfied with that. But then he is passing through a river and then he sees a reflection inside. And he sees another dog with another bone piece in his mouth. So he starts, you know, barking because he wants that also. And in the process he loses that. So Prabhupada gives a very nice, you know, purport to this. He said that we try to associate with materialistic people with the hope that we'll get something from them, but in that process we also lose what we have. Materially, from the view of time and everything else. Like Srila Prabhupada is mentioning that, you know, our life becomes spoiled when we just associate with such people. You know, another example is of the crab mentality. Now, very, very graphic example. You know, just if you see the crabs, actually I have seen them. Because when I was small, you know, my father used to get crabs home. You know, he would have them. You know, and literally I would see that, you know, after I heard, when I came to the moment and I heard the crab mentality, then I could relate what it was, you know. Like, you know, one crab would start walking, the other crab would grab his legs and pull him back, you know. That is the mentality. So it's said that when they ship the crabs, they don't have to cover the lid at all. Because any of the crabs try to climb up and go out, there are other crabs, there are 10 crabs to pull them down. Pull that crab down. That's the crab mentality. So here in this material world, nobody wants that others should succeed. Nobody wants that. They are always envious. They are thinking of some way or the other to try to pull the person down. That's all. Nothing else. And it will come through various forms. It can be like, you know, form of a small jealousness, or probably like, you know, thinking ill about someone, or maybe really grossly doing something drastic. Like recently, all of you may have got a message also, SMSs, you know, there have been SMSs going on at different, I also received one, and many of you may have got, that they said, don't drink this particular, you know, juice, because one employee who is working in that company has mixed blood, which is contaminated with AIDS in this particular juice. So don't drink this. Finished. Now the point is here, that particular company will not be able to sell this for the next maybe few months or years. That means that company's business is completely gone. Now if the company wants to track the person, how can you track? You send SMSs. It's not that somebody has openly said that, you know, I am declaring that this person has... SMSs is gone to everyone. It may be a false, it may be a rumor also. But then, finished, everything is over. That particular product may not be sold in the market, at least in India. Because everyone knows that that particular thing may contain blood which is contaminated, which has AIDS. So who will like to drink? That means the person may have harbored or labored so much to make this a most famous product of India, but then ultimately just one sentence and collapse. The business is gone. The business has to completely close. Now who knows? Who can be against you at what time? If you are a very successful person, there may be 10 others who would like to pull you down. And they may employ any means to just pull you down. Like recently I was in one place and he was talking about in the land deals. In the land deal, you may have so many land with you. And it says that supposing you want to sell it to someone and somebody doesn't want that you should sell. He just has to say that I also have a right to this property. He may not have any rights, but I have a right to this property. He has to just say that. Then the matter has to go to court. Probably it may be delayed for 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, or maybe, a year. And in the process, that person is not able to sell, or the market goes down, probably is so frustrated. Or he has to approach that person and says, okay, please tell me how much you want. Take this off. So there are people who are opportunists who can go against you at any time. So this is a hard fact of life which is there in this material world. And we are living in this world. And we think that they are our well-wishers, but they are not. There are many such things happening, the court cases on some trivial issues, and then the things drag on for so long, and then ultimately you become the loser. So all these things happen. So Srila Prabhupada here, he is mentioning why they should waste their valuable time in association with other rich men who are averse to spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada is saying that how when somebody has these opulences, in a purport of Janma Ishvara Shruti Shribi Yedamana Tapuman, many places when he's quoting this also, he says that when somebody has some opulences, then that becomes your spiritual advancement doesn't take place because it becomes an obstacle for a spiritual advancement. But he says that one should understand, if that person is little sober, he will realize that why I am rich. Prabhupada says like that, why I am rich? Because probably, I might have done something good in my previous life. Then he quotes this verse, Suchinam Shrimatam Gehe Yoga Brashta Pichayate. I might have done something pious, that's why I have got this wealth. And then now, that means Krishna has made an arrangement for which I don't have to struggle much for my living. The time which I have, I can utilize nicely for Krishna consciousness. And that's all. But instead of that, when you have such opulences, then you just forget about all these things and you think that this is my father's property. And Prabhupada says like that. He says, this is my father's property and I can waste the way I want. And he says, this is due to bad association. So Prabhupada is mentioning that, that person has a opportunity to perfect his life by associating with Krishna conscious people, but then because of bad association, he just whiles away. Just like here we find that Nalakuvera and Manigreev, they don't even bother to, cover themselves when Narad Muni comes in front of them. They are lower than the Shudras, as Radhika Vala Prabhu was mentioning. They are not even known to be Shudras. They are lower than the Shudras. So that is the situation here, that when you have that opulence, wealth or whatever, and you associate with non-devotees then or materialistic people, then you become intoxicated with that and you perform activities which are not conducive. Prabhupada mentions, you enter to wine, women, gambling, all those. So Srila Prabhupada at many places, he just mentions that how one considers himself fortunate that one is in the association of sadhus. And Prabhupada gives a wonderful definition of who is a sadhu. Sadhu is one who is engaged in devotional service to the Lord 24 hours a day. And Prabhupada quotes from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Titikshuka Karunika Surida Sarvadeinam Ajata Shatrava Sant Sadhava Sadhu Bhushanaha. So this is the definition of sadhu. A sadhu is one who is tolerant and compassionate. So here we find Narad Muni, is exhibiting that quality of compassion upon Nalakuber and Manigrev. You know, it's not that he, as I said, that he just did it in a very impulsive way, but he wanted to just see that how they can be really benefited. He actually became a Surida for them. He cursed them because he wanted to teach them a particular lesson. At the same time, he cursed them in such a way that he became trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, so that they can get his audience and perfect their life by just having the darshan of the Lord. That's the nature of a sadhu. A sadhu just, you know, finds out what is best for that person. Tolerant and compassionate. I just want to just share with you one nice incident which one of our devotees was mentioning. Before even he had become a devotee, it is said that he was traveling in a train and there was one person in front of him, supposedly a devotee, but he was not in that moment, so he did not realize. So he was sitting in a train and he had quite a lot of foodstuff to eat, and this person also was hungry. This boy who is now a devotee, he was hungry. So this fellow who had a lot of things to eat, prasad probably, he said, "Would you like to share from mine?" So this person, out of arrogance, this devotee, out of, you know, of his self-esteem, he said, no, I don't want to eat. Actually, I was hungry, but I don't want to eat. But then after some time, he said, "Well, if you want to eat, you can still share." He said, no. But he was absolutely very hungry, but he didn't want to eat. So this person, he finished his meals, and then when he was about to sleep, he said, "I have two more pieces of food with me. If any time you feel hungry, you can have." So he went to sleep. It seems as soon as he went to sleep, this person picked up those two, you know, packets of food and finished it off. So in the middle, he got up, it seems, and he smiled at him. He said, "Please eat nicely. But suppose if you are full, then don't waste, you know, because that somebody else can also take." So when he heard this, that, you know, this person was so compassionate, he knew that, you know, that I was hungry, that devotee was saying. And that's the reason he kept some food for me. And he also gave an open, this one, that you can, anytime you want to have, you can have it. And he ate it also. And this devotee was saying that after that, I actually came in the moment and then I realized, and he said, "I learned one wonderful lesson there. I learned the example of attitude of gratitude. How you should be grateful for this." And secondly, he learned, he said, "I realized one thing, that whenever it comes to prasad, you should never be, you know, shameful, or you should never be shy. You should always ask for prasad. Otherwise, you will have to go hungry." So, you know, he was talking about how the nature of a sadhu is always to give. Is open. You can always feel free to associate that person, because he has nothing to lose. He has all the things. His heart is there only to give. That's all. Nothing else. He has nothing that he needs to extract from others. So he realized that, you know, that is how a sadhu should be. That is how a sadhu is, a devotee should be. That, you know, always only give and no take. Recently we were in Remuna, Kirchur Gopinath place, Mukund Chaitanya Prabhu's mercy and all these devotees. I had an opportunity to go there, to this place. And I was very much impressed to see this particular family of Govinda Raj, which Vraj Bihari Prabhu also mentioned in his Sunday class. You know, I was impressed for one reason, because of their, you know, the wonderful attitude of really interacting with the host, guests. I had my dear friend here, Champati Prabhu, who was assisting. We had to conduct a Bhumi Puja there. And as would be, you know, at 10:30 or 11 o'clock in the night, the next day was supposed to be the main puja. And we are trying to figure out where are the ingredients. And almost about 30% to 40% ingredients were not around, you know. Yes. And it's middle of the night at 10:30, 11. And what to do now? Get everything, you know, from here, there. And in the storeroom, there are lots of mangoes and bananas, which they were supposed to use for themselves. It's for them. And we found that the fruits are not there. So where to get the fruits? You know? Okay. If the fruits are available here, just pick them up. Huh? So our devotee was very expert. Nothing is there. Just find out where it is in the house and just pick them up, as if it's his property. Like that. In a sense, it appeared like that. His house was like this, open to anyone. You know, whoever would enter the house would never feel that it's somebody else's house. Anybody would enter in the house, anybody would sleep anywhere. You feel like anybody goes anything, goes inside and takes whatever they want, like that, you know. Just go, picked up. So almost finished everything. The mangoes were over, the bananas were over, and then afterwards, you know, we need something else, and that also we got. We needed something else. Probably, you know, we completely, you know, wiped off everything from there. And these people were so blissful that all these things are being utilized nicely. It was not that, you know, they are expressing their discontent of, you know, if I would be there, I would say, no, this is for my house. No, nothing like that, you know, everything, just take it. You know? Next day, some, you know, little bit of items were made for some devotees, some prasad. Actually, they were only meant for some few people. Then I was also called. I said, you please come. And I really readily agreed, because I had not eaten since the earlier evening till 1:32. So I said, I'll have. And I sat, some more devotees sat, and then slowly I saw so many others also coming inside in their house and eating. You know, the ladies in the kitchen are going on making chapatis. It was not necessary for them to make chapatis for all, because the prasadam for all the devotees was outside in the pandal. But you know, devotees are just coming as if it's, you know, they are invited there. And they come, eat and go, hari bol, you know, they have nice katha, goes, chat and go. Again, somebody comes, sits in the place, goes, eats, goes. And I was seeing everybody is coming here and eating and going. Everyone coming and eating and going. You know, I think not less than 100 people ate and gone from there. You know, and then the family members and others just getting more and more, more and more. I was wondering that such a nice culture, that you actually invite everyone to your house. It's not your house, this is Krishna's house, and you are all Krishna's friends. And they were acting like that, and you know, such a wonderful environment. You could actually feel the vibrations of joy and openness over there. Yeah? And that's how it should be. You should not feel that, you know, when you go to somebody's, that's what. So when you are with the devotees, we always have that. No, we always are very free. We don't feel that, you know, sort of a restriction or inhibition that, oh, I am going there, what will they feel? No. So when you have that association of Vaishnavas, their house is open for us to enter, and the devotees are also very happy that we are utilizing the house for so many. I'm talking about any one of us, you know, like that. So this is a culture actually. And that is possible only when you have that, you know, association with saintly persons. They become so sadhus, and they also want to do the same thing. Just like Prabhupada mentions, that when you associate with materialistic people, it's like increasing the fever. You know, the materialistic fever, the temperature rises. That means when you associate with materialistic, you also feel like one amongst them. You want to also do that, what they have. Somebody is having 1 crore, you also want to earn. Somebody having 10 crores, you want to become like them, you also want to earn. You also want to have a car like them, you also want to have gadgets like them. You may not like to, you may not, need them. You know, I'm telling you of myself, I also am falling the same trap. You know, I saw everyone is having iPhone. I thought I will also have iPhone. But when I had iPhone, I became miserable because I didn't know how to use it. In a sense, you know, anytime it would touch and somebody else would say, did you call me? I said, no, it, by mistake it touched. So that happened so many times. I got so frustrated, I came back to my normal phone now. But a problem is that you get carried away and you feel that I need that. I need that. But actually you need not, you don't need those. You don't need those. But that's possible only if you have a strong association of sadhus. You know, that's very important. So when you see the sadhus, when in the saintly person, the devotees, and you see their lifestyle, you see some now nicely they are, you know, interacting and the lifestyle, then you feel that so wonderful. Like last time when I went to Hyderabad, I was just asking, everyone is, you know, I thought I took a, you know, a big suitcase with me for 2 days, you know, my clothes and everything. And I saw all the temple inmates were only having one backpack, you know, like small haversack. I said, where are your clothes? He said, everything inside. He said, you don't need. He said, no, one cloth you washed, the other cloth you put. And what about some notes and everything? No, just whatever you need for 2 days, we just carry that much and go. That's all. Simple style, you know. So I said, I'll also do like this. So this time also I carried one bag. And I really found that, you know, I still carried some extra, but that extra never was required. So sometimes, you know, you realize that simple life at that time when you associate. Of course, Srila Prabhupada here, he is mentioning a wonderful thing that it's very important, you know, that a poor, both the poor and rich man can take advantage of the Krishna consciousness movement. And here it's advised that everyone do so. So I was just reflecting a little bit on, you know, who are the rich people. Though they were rich, though they had opulence, but still they were exhibiting these qualities which Srila Prabhupada is here mentioning about. And just to go through them, I just thought that for my own purification, I'll just briefly go through this. Titikshaka Karunika Ka Surida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhu Bhushanaha. So Titikshaka, tolerance, you know, the patience. I was thinking of the rich men or the people who had this opulence, how they were really Krishna conscious because of their association with the sadhus. So I was thinking of Maharaj Pratap Rudra as far as tolerance is concerned, that how he exhibited that quality of tolerance. He was waiting patiently for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, if you see from that point of view. Like His Grace Gauranga Prabhu in his class at Tota Gopinath was mentioning that, you know, Pratap Rudra Maharaj saw that Sarvam Bhattacharya got mercy, everyone else got the mercy, but because he being the king, he did not, you know. But then he had all that quality of a Vaishnava. You know, he made arrangement for Lord Chaitanya to stay, he was making arrangements for all the devotees to come and, you know, stay and also watch the Pahandi ceremony. Then he was exhibiting quality of humility, but he also exhibited quality of just tolerance, you know, waiting for the mercy to come, you know, and that's it paid off in the sense when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking rest, he was told that he should go and massage his feet and take the role of a mendicant and then serve him. So this is a quality which devotee has. If Maharaj Pratap Rudra thought that, oh, what does he think of himself? He could have thought about it also, because he was such a powerful person. You can imagine, only in the state of Orissa, the Muslim rule was not there. He was such a powerful person. He never allowed the Muslim rule to come inside, you know. So you can imagine the power of Pratap Rudra. But that did not enter into his head. He was ready to wait for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. The Karunika, merciful, you know, talking about Ranti Dev, that how he was compassionate, you know, he had fasted for 48 hours and at that time when he was about to break his fast, He had certain some milk and little bit of food and some water. And when he was about to sit to eat, first the Brahmana came. He said, I am hungry. So he gave half of his food to him to eat. Then after the Shudra came. He shared with him also. Then a Chandala came. Sorry, then one pack of dogs, you know, he gave, and then what was remaining was water. And that time he prayed to the Lord that, you know, that you are so merciful on me that you are allowing me to do this particular service. And now I am free from thirst, hunger, lamentation, everything. But here you find that, you know, Rantidev was exhibiting that quality. Somebody was asking for something, he was ready to give to them. That's the quality. You know, Surida Sarvadeinam is thinking about Shibi Maharaj. Maharaj Shibi was ready to be a friend to all living entities. That means he considered even the pigeon to be one of his citizens. You know, Agnidev and Suryadev wanted to, Indradev wanted to test Shibi's quality of charity. And they took the role of an eagle and a pigeon. The pigeon came running to Maharaj Shibi and saying, please help me. The eagle is coming and going to eat me. So he stops the eagle. The eagle says, pigeon is my food. You should allow me to eat. So he says, I am ready to give my, what do you want? I said, I can give my flesh. It's equal to the weight of the pigeon. Of course, they're testing him. And then he just went on putting in the scale and it was not coming to the level. Then he ultimately sat himself, and that's how then they revealed their form. You know, Ajata Shatrava, that is, you know, Prabhupada always mentions about Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was, you know, non-envious. So much atrocities, so much of struggle that they had to undergo because of the activities of the Kauravas, but he never thought ill about. Even during the Rajaswi sacrifice, he made Duryodhan in charge of treasury. You can imagine. You know, he was in charge of treasury. He made Duryodhan in charge of treasury. That was the thing. So, you know, Yudhishthira Maharaj is that example of Ajata Shatrava. Of course, all these devotees have all these qualities, but just highlighting some of them, you know. Ajata Shatrava Shanta, very peaceful. I was just thinking about the quality of Maharaj Ambarish. Maharaj Ambarish was such a person, you know, perfect example of a grahastha who was engaged 24 hours in Krishna's service. And the Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto mentions how Ambarish Maharaj would engage all his senses in the Lord's service. He would engage his mind in thinking of the Lord, engage his mouth in glorifying the Lord, ears in hearing the glories, nose in smelling the tulsi which is offered to the Lord, legs for carrying to the temple, hands for sweeping the floor and touching the bodies of the devotees. So from all point of view, Maharaj Ambarish exhibited quality. And then when Durvasa Muni came and he was waiting for him, for Durvasa Muni to come back from performing his morning rituals, he just took only one sip and Durvasa Muni became so angry and he just took out, you know, hair from his body and created a fiery demon. And the demon was supposed to devour him. That was the reason why Durvasa Muni created that. But then ultimately Sudarshan Chakra destroyed and went after Durvasa Muni. But through all this, Ambarish Maharaj was very peaceful. You know, he never, you know, reacted and said, no, it does not justify also that I just took only a drop of water. What do you think of yourself? If you were there, probably we would have done like that, or we would have thought like that. But Ambarish Maharaj did not even think like that. You know, doesn't come in action then. And he just did that. So Ambarish Maharaj actually, you know, exhibited that quality of tolerance. And he said that because you know, he exhibited that, you know, all this 24 hours he was engaged in Krishna's activities. The Srimad Bhagavatam mentions that, you know, his attachment to material life was very insignificant. He was not at all attached. Whatever material activities were there, that appeared very insignificant, material life. Because he was completely surrendered to the Lord. And that's the reason it's said that the Sudarshan Chakra was always there in his kingdom. So Prabhupada in the purport mentions that even when somebody surrenders to the Lord wholeheartedly, then the Lord always gives protection. So the Sudarshan Chakra is always there for him, you know. It's like that. So that's the way that, you know, there are these people who have this opulence, and then they have, because of their strong association, they have been Krishna conscious, and they have been exhibiting these qualities also of the sadhu. Srila Prabhupada, to conclude with, when he went to the West, he had all these qualities of a sadhu. He went to the West, he had nothing, just $7 with him. But then when he went to the West, so much of struggle he had to undergo. So many people that he had to interact, you know, like his two tire tiffin box also had to be kept in a refrigerator which was with other, you know, non-vegetarian items. And then when he was trying to start this Krishna conscious movement at that time, he had to interact with so many people from different walks of life. Like how Yamuna Mataji mentions about her in a memoirs that, you know, Prabhupada, first time she entered in the kitchen was with a cigarette in her mouth. And Prabhupada would say that, you know, please go out, wash your hands and come back. That's a quality of tolerance that he actually exhibited, you know. So much of a trouble that he had to undergo. And very compassionate upon the fallen conditioned souls over there. His Grace Gaurampa was mentioning the same place. He's talking about Jagannath deities. He said that when Prabhupada told one particular community to worship the deities, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, when he came back again, he asked, how is the worship going on? So the devotee said, worship is going on very nicely, but Prabhupada, we had one question. So what is it? He says, whom are we worshipping? Who are these people whom we are worshipping? You know, means they did not even know that whom they are worshipping also. They're worshipping Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, but they did not know whom they are worshipping. And Prabhupada had to tolerate such people. Well, when he went to Australia, he welcomed the Gaurnita deities and he told that, you know, my dear Lord, I am entrusting you to this mlechas, so please accept their services, you know, like that. So Srila Prabhupada actually, through different ways, at different times, you know, he exhibited so much of tolerance, compassionate, and also always very, very helpful. He always writes, your ever well-wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. That was his way. He actually was genuine well-wisher of all. You know, anybody would feel that Prabhupada is my friend. Anybody can directly go and approach Prabhupada and directly ask him, or probably, you know, get guidance. And Prabhupada has to very nicely tell him that this is what you should do, this is what you should do. And very, very gently and a very nice way. Like Govindadasi was mentioning that how Prabhupada was not only too compassionate to the conditioned living entities like human beings, but also to the animals. She's saying that one time she saw Prabhupada, you know, very seriously looking at something in a garden in New Jersey. And he's wondering, what is that? This is a very, very small creature. And he calls Govinda and says, Govinda Dasi, and says, come here. He says, chant to this creature. Chant Hare Krishna to this. So that time Govinda Dasi understood that, you know, Prabhupada is so compassionate. He even wants that creature also to go back to the spiritual world. You know, take shelter of the Lord and just hear and go back, you know. So that is Prabhupada's nature, Prabhupada's compassionate nature. Of course, all the books that we are reading, all because of his tiring efforts, know, sleeping for less and waking up in the middle of night and translating so many books. And when I was reading this particular chapter, I was just thinking that maybe at this state, Prabhupada was not even in that position of getting up, I suppose. You know, he may be traveling, but she was not in that position. He was 80 years old at this time. And in about few days or so, he was leaving the body. Because later on, everything was faster because the recording was done. And, you know, they would transcribe whatever he has done. So, whatever he has written now, you know, at this time, till the 14th chapter, was all, you know, in that mood of urgency and full of compassion for all of us, you know, exhibition. So that could come out from here, like especially like today's purport. So here Srila Prabhupada is asking a question, why they are not, you know, asking a question in a purport. Why then should a rich, instead of associating, waste their valuable time in association with other women, rich men who are averse to spiritual life? And he says, available now all over the world in form of Krishna conscious movement. One should not avoid the association of Vaishnavas. So that is what is Prabhupada's desire. And the followers are carrying out Prabhupada's legacy and trying to spread his holy name all over the world at different places. Devotees are taking shelter of this Krishna conscious movement. The sadhus at different places. Sadhus are getting created at different places. Like I found when I went to Orissa state, you know, in Neel Madhav, there's a place in Neel Madhav, devotees are there. There's a place, I don't know his name, this particular devotee's place. What is the name of the place? Motari. To pronounce all this is difficult. Motari is a small place, but over there are 1,000 families who all have Bhagavad Gita with them. And every day they have morning program. I said, if I was not traveling, I would not have known that such things are happening. You know, and probably there may be many more where things are happening because the sadhus are traveling at different places. They are trying to spread Krishna consciousness and making more sadhus through their association. So this is a wonderful thing that actually I got to see and get inspired. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।